Welcome to Product Mastery Now, where we simplify the seven knowledge areas for product mastery. These are the product management practices that elevate your influence and create products your customers love. To see all seven areas and assess your strengths in product mastery, simply go to my website, productmasterynow.com. I'm Chad McAllister, a product management professor, practitioner, and your host. Today, we're talking about aspects of the market research knowledge area for product mastery. Specifically, we are discussing how to overcome challenges collecting actionable customer insights, whether we call this voice of the customer or other approaches to understand our customer's problem. Helping us with this is Prashant Mahajan. He's the founder of Zeta.io. Prashant is an experienced product manager and leader, having guided product development in several organizations. In these experiences, he identified a critical gap. Many product managers are unsure if they are building the right products because they can't access the customer's feedback and assess the customer's feedback, customer's insight, or even sentiment. This led him to developing Zeta.io, which is also focused on the importance of publicly sharing product roadmaps and progress with customers. We'll find out more about that during our discussion for sure. And as a reminder, listeners, we always create detailed show notes of what we discuss, including a one-page action guide to help you put into action some of the key takeaways that Prashant will be sharing with us. For this episode, you'll find those resources at productmasterynow.com/484. This podcast is made possible by the Rapid Product Mastery Experience. That's the RPM experience, which helps product VPs and leaders get their product managers and everyone else that contributes to product to increase their performance, working together, building that foundation of knowledge that they need by learning the seven essential product knowledge areas and building trust and collaboration in the process as well. To see how it is unique and how it can help you, go to productmasterynow.com/RPM. Prashant, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot, Chad, for having me here. Have been a fan of the show. Have heard it for a couple of years now. It's a privilege to be here.
Thank you very much. I am always pleased when guests come on and they know the show. And it's just such a privilege to be able to talk with people with good, deep experience and who are also trying to help the product management community. And that's why I was eager to be talking with you. I want to take you back into the story a little bit with us, because you founded Zeta to help product manage. And am I pronouncing it right? How do you pronounce the company?
Yeah, Zeta is fine.
Zeta, okay. Zeda.io, Zeta.io. You founded that to help product managers do a better job capturing that voice of the customer, right? Understanding what the customer needs, those actual insights we need. But it sounds like through your product management experiences that you had challenges yourself that you encountered, and also that you saw other product managers having to try to gain those customer insights. Can you talk us about that, about some of those things with us?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've been building products for more than 10 years, and I built in India, Southeast Asia, USA, Japan, SaaS, payment, e-commerce, everywhere. There were a few things which I realized that you hear about all these best practices about product management. You have to solve the customer problem. You have to make a strategy. You have to create a business impact and all those. But most of the product management, when I saw in most of the companies, was about operations. Updating an Excel sheet or Jira ticket or meeting or something. I was like, that's taking up too much of my mental bandwidth to create something new. And that is where I thought, okay, there could be a better way to do product management, where the operations part is taken care by a software or a machine. And this is inspiration from GitHub AI Copilot, because this was in 2020 when ChatGPT was not out there. So I was like, okay, we can build something. And we started with the vision to make product management simpler and smarter. And when we started the journey, if you take product management, it can be divided into product discovery, which is what to build. Then the planning, where prioritization, OKR, goals, things come in. Product building, which is your documentation, wireframe, Jira, and other things, research, etc. And finally, GTM, your product launch, where you launch it out, measure it, and repeat the cycle. We realized that most of the product people love and are very good at building things. Like, you give them a problem, they'll come up with excellent solutions and, you know, good. The problem is they don't know what problem to solve. Like, that is the most fundamental first part. What to build and why. You can build it out and you have more than 30 years experience. I have more than 10 years. We can build decent enough products. But the question of what to build. And that was such a big problem in almost every company because if people knew what to build, we would have still seen Yahoo more than a $1 trillion company. If we had seen, we would not have seen companies launch useless products. We would not have seen companies die. Let's put it that. And I firsthand experienced that in my previous company. You are getting input from sales team, support team, customers, customer facing teams, your user research. And as the company becomes bigger and bigger, the distance between product team and user keeps on increasing. There are processes in place. There are people in place. There are things happening. And the thing which need to be the closest product and customer, they go furthest. And you are just doing meeting. And when you do meeting with people, there's a Chinese whisper. Customer might have said something. The salesperson might have heard, assumed something. They might have communicated to their manager something. Their manager might have communicated something else to the VP of product or CPO. And when it comes to you, it is already 4 to 5 layers different. Mm-hmm. And the information is so fragmented and scattered. You cannot just go at one place and say that, what are my customers asking? How can I talk to them? What is the pain point? And these are the biggest things which I thought, okay, I need to solve it. I want to make a platform where you can centralize the customer voice. And this is, again, learning by shipping the product, listening to customers, going on call with them, seeing what matters most. We came to the conclusion that centralizing voice of customer at one place, analyzing it and generating insights that theme, trends, and key takeaways, and making it actionable. That's the core part of what to build. If you can solve this, you have taken care by 50% of the problem, and then product teams can do a great job at shipping something out.
Yep. Yeah, you described what I think of as the telephone game that at least I played when I was young, right? Which, you know, maybe around a table, you have 7 people and you whisper in one person's ear what that is. And by the time it goes all the way around the table and comes back to you, it's completely different, right? And that happens, right? The CEO has a meeting with a big customer, comes back really excited, tells someone else we need to do this. That eventually makes its way down to a product manager. And we don't know if it's accurate at that point or not, which is kind of alarming, right? And the other thing that happens, we talked about this recently on a previous podcast, is as organizations grow, it's not uncommon, as you said, for the product manager to kind of become further and further away from the customer. They have all these other jobs. And, you know, a lot of us have heard the benchmark, you know, maybe a 30% of a product manager's time should be direct contact with customers. And most of us don't get, you know, anything close to that or any of that. I was exactly. In one organization several years ago where they chose to take the product management team, large organization, 20 core product managers, others helping, and they told them, you no longer can talk to customers. We get all of our input from sales. Your responsibility is to write the requirements and guide what gets created. It's like, wow, that's probably not a good strategy, because I think sales has an important job, but their job is not necessarily to deeply understand the customer's problem.
Exactly. And one more challenge is that you need to have a strong, so product team, I believe product team and not just product manager, because designers, engineers are a key part to it. They also need to know why they are building something. Mm-hmm. What is the problem? And if you just tell them that this is something to build, it's a project management, it's not product management, then you're just asking them to build. But if you tell them the problem and why, which customer asked for it, what is the impact of it, they can brainstorm it together and ship it out. Yeah. And with this whole layoff and, you know, economics situation happening, it becomes even more critical that you are utilizing your resources to the right problem, which will create impact, and not just randomly building things.
Yeah, my favorite way to approach that, which hasn't always been possible for me, is to have, you know, maybe the lead engineer, lead developer, or others, if possible, to have actual contact with the customer, right? I want them to have the experience that I had in understanding the problem, so that we have that firsthand knowledge on the development team as well. And it's not just kind of, you know, secondhand, third hand, fifth hand to them. But you're trying to get all this information into one place, it sounds like. So I kind of teed this up that, you know, this is your experience with challenges. You've also have been leading product managers and seen their experiences with this challenge also. But I'm curious, you wouldn't be the first person, including myself, to develop something for yourself, right? And maybe not for the larger product management community. How have you gone about validating kind of the pain points for the product manager and, you know, what that core problem is that we really need to address?
I have been a strong proponent of talking to people. In 3 years now, more than 3.5 years actually, I have been spending every, you can imagine almost every day I have had on average a call with a product leader. And I have talked to people whom I never imagined I'll get chance to talk to, CPOs and VPs of product of bigger organization, people who have just started up, first PM at a startup. And that is my first thing. I want to talk to people to understand. I have been doing this community of Product Cafe, where I have been listening to people and inviting them for brunches and listening to them. The core problem as a product leader is there are so many things to do. There are so many ideas, and there is lack of confidence on deciding which idea to pursue. Especially with the whole everything becoming scrutinized, that ROI, what is the ROI of building this? You need to justify that. And as a product leader, the experimentation phase has gone down, and you are being questioned that, did you ship this out? Why did you ship it out? What is the impact? And one, I'll not take the name of the company, one if product head CPO, he said that, I want your product to be insurance for my job, because my board is behind my ass that if I ship it out, and after 1 year, because in a bigger organization, it takes 6 to 7 months to ship something out, and then 5 to 6 months to see the impact. It was like, if after 1 year this thing doesn't work, the product, I'll be fired. So I need you to be my insurance that this is the data, why we prioritize, and help me save my job. And that was a very good way to put it.
Right. There was a lot on the line, right? As product people, we want to create value for customers, you know, satisfy their problems and delight them in some way. And there's a lot of internal metrics that go along with that as well, right? And like you said, ROI is a big issue in that. So it sounds like some of the challenges that you uncovered were related to, you know, just understanding in the first place, you know, what the customer needs, what the insights are, prioritizing maybe different things we can do. And that one I think is particularly challenging, because sometimes, as you've alluded to already, we have them coming from different voices, right? And sales says, we have to have this feature implemented. Customer support is saying, this is the key thing that we're hearing all the time, you know, and other places as well. And it's challenging to decide, you know, which features are going to go into the next build, you know, that we can do right now. And the reality is, none of those might actually create new value for the customer, right? It really just depends what's going on. Are there other kind of core problems that you found? It sounds like, if I did the math right, are you up around 1,000 product people you've talked to?
More than that, but yeah.
you've talked to a lot of product leaders.
I mean, there are multiple problems in product management, and I wish I could build a solution for all. And we actually started with that vision that we'll solve entire product management and make it a amazing thing, simply, like I say, help product managers, make product management simpler and smarter, so that product managers can ship the right product faster and better. But that requires so many things. We narrowed down into product discovery and planning, because currently what we do is we centralize all your customer voice or input from customers and customer-facing team at one place. So you don't have to juggle between meetings, Excel sheets, and you don't lose any information. Second, we analyze that using AI to what you just mentioned, showing you the impact, that what are your top paying customers asking? What are your current customers asking? What are your customers whose renewal is coming? They are asking. What are your potential customers asking? And then what are the biggest pain point, opportunity, feature request, duplicate request, and so on. And you can, like you mentioned, you can adjust the weights and prioritization framework that I want to prioritize based on revenue, number of requests, particular product, particular theme, particular weight. You can do that. So you get that insight. And AI automatically keeps on giving you. You can take an action and convert it into a Jira ticket. That Jira ticket already has the context, has the first draft. So your writer's block is solved. And then when you ship it out, we help you close the loop by publishing release note and updates that, hey, you asked for this, we shipped it out. That itself helps with adoption and higher NPS and reduces churn. So we help you centralize. That saves your time to go through multiple tools and hours. We analyze and give you action item, which again takes away almost a product analyst's job and helps you do that. We create the first draft, which again helps you save time so that your first draft is ready. The writer's block is taken care of. And then we ship it out and we update so that communication is there. The whole alignment, whole communication, time, strategy, everything. So we basically empower PMs to do better.
So a platform that really helps you with this core problem of what is it we should build? Right? How do we know what to build? And then all the associated things with that, all the inputs that we get into that. Yeah. And it sounds like a problem that you must have uncovered in either your own experience or talking to all these product leaders, is this issue of transparency as well, that there's a collection of information. We want to make it clear where that is originating, where the information is coming from, and make sure it's visible to everyone on the product team and maybe other stakeholders as well. Can you talk about that problem a little bit and just how you see it being maybe addressed now and then addressed in your platform as well?
Yes, so we direct the problem that information coming from various sources. If you don't have a tool like Zeta, you will have something in the CRM, which is your sales team using it, something in your Gong or Apollo, which is your sales call or lead gen platform. Then there will be some information in the customer support, Zendesk or Intercom. Some information in your Jira backlog. People might be creating tickets to cover up later. There could be a user research platform where you are doing surveys. That's another tool which is used by designer and UX researcher. There could be Slack and email messages between the executive team or other product teams. Ideas which are spread. And lastly, there could be customer success teams also where you are. They might be having regular maintenance and so on. And this is because we work very closely with B2B product teams. So the tools and process mentioned could be different. But these informations are now scattered. I come to you and say, hey, Chad, let's plan the Q2 roadmap because it's already February. We need to get a Q2 roadmap by end of February, get it approved by mid-March, and get the road running by March end. So you just have 30 days to 15 days to prepare it. You can go through all these tools, getting access, getting the approvals, and then analyzing all that, and then converting it into a presentable form. It's going to take you 2 weeks of time, or 2 to 4 weeks on average. We have built native integration with all the tools I mentioned. So there's nothing you have to do. It automatically keeps in coming in real time. And you just come to the platform and just say, hey, I'm planning to build the next quarter. Tell me what are my enterprise customers asking. And my goal is to grow revenue. And we tell you that these are the 100 items which came. These are the top 5 categories you can place in. These are the top 2 things you should build. This is the revenue impact. These are the customers asking. This is the original request. Convert it into do you want to take an action item or not? So that 3 to 4 weeks came down to maybe 2 to 3 days.
Yeah, clearly the time savings is huge, but just the availability to get the information is key here. Because
yes,
I'm sure there's Yeah, I'm sure there's product managers who know exactly what you're talking about. Just as an example, one organization I did some work with, on the product management team, right, among lots of product managers, there was kind of, it was known as, you know, the one person who actually had the insights and access, because you listed a lot of different systems that any organization could exist. A lot of times there's just walls between, like, I don't have permissions to get to two-thirds of it. I can only get to, you know, this third over here that I have reason to interact with. Right. And on this team, there was one person who was kind of the go-to that technically knew how to query all the different systems and pull that together and had access as well. Yeah. Right. This is not a trivial thing to have to deal with.
And for that same reason, on our platform, engineer, anyone who product manager collaborate, sales support, customer success, engineer, designer, anyone, marketer, they're completely free to use the platform.
Okay.
So there's no, you can, information need to be shared. That's it. Then only you can make a better product.
Okay. Very, very important. So that's a key problem that you've uncovered that you're trying to address, is just access to the information, getting it pulled. Let's talk about the AI parts of this a little bit, because, you know, as you said, when, you know, in your experiences, obviously this wasn't even available. Now we're getting there. And it sounds like you're pulling it in. One example you gave about how you're maybe applying AI is thinking about, if we choose to do it, we make this decision, we choose to put in this feature, what's the downstream impact of that, if I heard you describe that right? How are you thinking about that AI could be leveraged for product managers to help us with our jobs?
I think the biggest thing, there are 2 to 3 ways where I feel AI can have the biggest impact. One, it's just taking care of the operational part. I mean, I can write SQL queries, but do I need to write it, or can I just ask the AI to do that work and tell me?
Right.
If you have to build a product, there's a art and science. There's a craft of building a beautiful product, of a amazing product, of, you know, something which gives that wow feeling. In order to do that, you need to have a lot of focus, attention. You need to spend time. You need to think about the problem. You need to think about the solution. To think about it, you need time. And that's the biggest problem. People don't have time and effort. So if the AI can take care of the operations piece, you can do more strategic, creative work. That's the biggest way PMA product managers are going to leverage AI. Just taking care of the operations part. And that could be Veda helping you with analysis, or Notion or other documentation tool helping you with ChatGPT, helping you with drafting the PID or reviewing it. Or I know a couple of platforms, Miro is helping with wireframing, or there are user research platform where they are. I got to know about a tool where if you build a product, you can define your user persona, and that user tool creates artificial users, AI agent user, to validate your product. Very good use case, but this kind of thing. So I think that is there. Second part is just researching it. Like, if you have, now you identified what to build, you have time to do creative writing and strategic work, brainstorming with AI, that is going to help a lot. Before going to a meeting, you can already take care of all the things. Finally, I think there are elements which are more trivial in nature. Like, I always used to give this example. If you are building something for older people, you need to make font size bigger. Right? Now, one way to do it is, you ship something out, you go give it to your persona, which is 70-year-old person, and they are trying the product. You stand next to them, you look, they are having issue at looking at the screen, and then you go back to your developer team and say that, hey, make the font size bigger. Or that's actually one of the things I want to solve with Veda in future, is that you define your persona to be, I don't know, some 70-year-old person, and it automatically suggests you that, hey, make the font size 18 pixels because according to this research, this has been done and proven, by the way, by Alibaba in China, that you increase the font size and the conversion rate increases. So you can just have that. So by default, the quality of product you are shipping is way higher. Imagine. So that thing itself is very powerful. And yes, development cycle. Now you don't have to ship, look at the data and come back and repeat it. Those iterations can be reduced, and you already know what are the best practices in the world, what other people have tried, and you can leverage that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some big picture things for our discussion so far, you know, challenges we have, actually understanding what the customer wants, what their needs are. And product managers hear that from lots of different places. We need a way to just make sense of that and make it transparent as well. Our ability to be able to go and kind of in a way interrogate all the different sources of information and pull back what is already known from those and use that to prepare like product roadmaps and like, yeah. And then again, making all of that transparent to all the stakeholders involved, right? Where the information came from, our plans for that. And then some, you know, this is all emerging right still, but some ways to use AI to help reduce the tedious work so we have time to focus on what is more important. And then AI is getting better at doing some research things for us, for sure. And I won't go any further on the AI part because I know that can be a rabbit hole for us, but we're all going to see where that goes and kind of what tools we make use of, you know, right? Programmers are already using it in some very helpful ways that is reducing some tedium. So that's a good thing. Okay. Well, I appreciate the information. Appreciate the, you know, learning from your experience, some of these challenges, which I think many listeners will relate to, and then how you have gone to validate. This is just a good lesson all by itself, regardless of what the problem is, right? How you spent time validating and more deeply understanding this problem by talking to people with the problem, right? Talking to product leaders, and talking to over 1,000 product leaders is definitely going the extra mile, right? To make sure that you're staying in touch with the community that has this problem for sure. And then building some sort of system that lets you be able to have the information you need and share the information, really important. And obviously that's what you're doing and people can go find out more about that. As listeners know, we do like innovation quotes. Tell us what that quote is that you brought us and what it means to you.
So I read this in some of the philosophical book. I love philosophy, so this quote, which says, "Fool did not know it was impossible, so he did it." Now that's very simple because the smarter we become, we try to analyze pros and cons, and we enter analysis paralysis. Sometimes it's just, if you don't know what are the limits, what are the foundations, I think the only foundations are the laws of physics that could be there. Other than that, there are not really any limitations. But there are limitations in our mindset, society, knowledge, and so on. So we put those limitations. But someone who doesn't know those limits will continue going. They'll break the barriers, and then when they do it, someone will get to know, oh, that was possible. For example, going around the earth, no one knew it was possible till someone did it. And then we were like, oh yeah, it can be done. So I just love that quote, "Fool did not know it was impossible, so he did it."
It's a great quote, right? Oftentimes, if we don't want to get too much into the analysis before we just start moving forward and trying something, because the analysis might scare us. So that's good. This is what entrepreneurs do, right?
Yeah, as a PM, you need to have that some sort of innovation in your thinking. You can't just always be constrained by what business is saying, developer is saying, designer is saying, customer is saying. Sometimes you just have to have that extra kick that, okay, let's try it. Yep. And that just creates a new paradigm.
Fantastic. Thank you for sharing that quote with us. The work you're doing sounds really interesting. Zeda.io, Zeda.io. Tell us more about, you know, resources people might find there, other ways to get in touch with you and for people to find out about the work that's going on.
So definitely check out Zeda.io. That's written here on the t-shirt. Other than that, I love to talk to product people. I love to talk to entrepreneurs. If anyone wants to get in touch, just LinkedIn is the best way. Search Prashant Mahajan or Prashant my first name at vida.io is my email ID. I would love to talk, and then I can share everything I know.
Fantastic. Thank you for making that available to the listeners. Anyone that wants to reach out and learn more about just this problem directly and give you an opportunity too, right, to get their understanding of the problems. That's wonderful. And I'll make sure the show notes have those links on there to your LinkedIn profile and the company. Just a great pleasure. Thank you for bringing your experience and knowledge with us today.
Thanks a lot, Chad. Really appreciate you having me here.
And once again, everyone listening, you'll find the written summary of all that we discuss at productmasterynow.com/484. Everyone, keep innovating.
Thank you for listening to Product Mastery Now, where product leaders and managers gain product mastery through practical knowledge, influence, and confidence. By listening, you are becoming a product master, creating products customers love. Find additional resources at productmasterynow.com. Keep innovating.